Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Associate Athletic Director for Media Relations, Brian Freeman, and visiting with us this week is the Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, Senior Woman Administrator, and Title IX Coordinator for the Athletic Department, Ms. Jenny Frisbee. Jenny, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. I've really enjoyed listening to the podcast for South Alabama, and I appreciate you guys allowing me to be on.
So, right off the bat, we can get into what I would argue is the longest title on the athletic department staff directory. There's obviously a lot that goes on into what you do, and you've got responsibilities in multiple areas. So, for the listeners out there, kind of explain your main duties on a day-to-day basis and maybe kind of what is a typical day for you during the week, not including athletic events.
So the associate athletic director role, I oversee all aspects of sports medicine. I currently have 12 certified athletic trainers that I supervise. Those athletic trainers either working on their master's degree or have been in the field and are full-time employees, and they cover all aspects of all the intercollegiate athletic teams that we have on campus. I currently work day-to-day operations for the football team, so my role is to make sure that the football team gets everything that they need from a treatment and rehabilitation standpoint. Could be, you know, transporting them to an appointment, an MRI, taping their ankles, bracing them up, making sure that they're ready for practice. Post-practice evaluations, making sure that they have what they need to get to their home that evening, whatever they may need, and then traveling with them. From a senior woman administrator standpoint, I focus a lot of my time on Title IX, gender equity, sexual assault, discrimination, making sure that the university, that we are compliant in athletics with all of our policies and procedures of the university. From a Title IX standpoint, we also allow the students to have access to wellness education, so we bring speakers on campus to address the student athletes per semester, and depending on what the topic may be, we, you know, set that up and make sure that they, you know, have an opportunity to hear guest speakers from, you know, an outside source. I also am on a couple committees within the institution, and one of those is the Title IX, the institution's Title IX committee, and I do serve as the deputy Title IX coordinator for the institution.
So day to day, a typical day for you, how much of it is working with the actual student athletes and coaches? How much of it is meetings? You know, how would you break down what you do from the time you get up till the time you close the office door?
I would say that on a typical day, usually my week is 7 days a week, again, because the majority of my day is with football. So, you know, get in, get treatments done. 70% is, you know, with football and making sure that, you know, they are taken care of. 20% is meetings, and then, you know, the remainder of the 10% is addressing student athlete needs that aren't football related, and making sure that staff needs are taken care of from, you know, outside the football arena.
So when you planned, I'll get into it a little later, you had a plan for sports medicine and athletic training. And so as you got into that when you were younger, did you ever see a day where you'd be handling so many different administrative duties, or was this something that maybe happened to come across your path as an opportunity later on?
Actually, absolutely not. I was injured as a young softball player in ninth grade, and I was introduced to a physical therapist. And that was actually where I got the opportunity to see how the insides of a physical therapy clinic worked. And I said, this kind of piques my interest. I think maybe I want to be a physical therapist. Was able to go to Troy State University on a softball scholarship and an academic presidential scholarship. And they did have a pre-physical therapy program, so that sort of went hand in hand. With that, I said, okay, I want to be a physical therapist. So the athletic director, I was for 11 years, I was actually just a head athletic trainer, not just, but I was a head athletic trainer at a NAI institution, was able to work with collegiate athletes since I have been a professional. So that part, I was just very blessed and fortunate to be able to do that. I've always been able to work with college athletes, and I've certainly been able to enjoy that, and that's been nice. The athletic director's assistant athletic director side of it came when the job came open for the University of South Alabama. Some friends called and said, hey, I had gotten my master's here, and said, hey, this job is open. It's not just a head athletic trainer job. It actually has the assistant AD title attached to it. And, you know, Jenny, that could be a great career move. You should look into that. And so I actually contacted John Singletary, who I knew from getting my master's degree here, and contacted him, and we discussed it, and that's how I actually just got tabbed with the assistant AD role for sports medicine, and you know, was fortunate enough to be able to get here and get the interview with Pam Young and Joe Godfrey, and they were excited to have a female to be able to do that pre-football, by the way. And you know, I was able to get this job and start here in 2007.
So for anyone out there listening that may be interested in a career path along ours, administrative and getting and working very closely with an athletic director, whatever school it may be, is there anything that you've done in recent years to help you prepare for those added administrative responsibilities, or any advice you might give to someone looking to follow that your path?
I would say education. I believe that getting my master's degree was a great thing for me. It allowed me to step outside of experiences that I had with my bachelor's degree. I was able to do things in the exercise physiology field. I actually thought maybe I wanted to do cardiac rehabilitation outside of athletic training. So I was able to meet some people that took me on a path of administrative duties and being able to take on a role that was not just taping ankles and being around the athletic side. It was a different group. And with that, you had a hospital setting, so you had a little bit a different administrative role to it. You know, with the athletic training side, I was able to learn insurance and how to handle the insurance companies. And so I think the advice that I would give is find something that you're passionate about. Learn everything that there is to learn about that. Make really good community contacts. Have a good network of people that you trust and that you can contact and have, you know, communications with, because I think that's the easiest way to learn and continue to learn when you're, you know, coming up through your profession.
So you brought it up on an earlier question, and I'm going to go back now. You were a youth softball player. When do you remember first being interested in sports? And other than softball, which you obviously have mentioned, were there any other sports that you participated in as you were growing up?
Yes, I was involved in several sports growing up, and this might be a shock to people because I was a softball player, and that was actually what paid for my school. But I was a swimmer from a young age, and I was actually relatively good. I was a butterfly swimmer and an IM swimmer. So way back when, I watched the Olympics now, and I think, I wonder if I could have done that. But you know, back then there wasn't the notoriety and the work ethics and the programs that, you know, the youth have now. There was no soccer growing up. I played volleyball in high school, but there were no youth groups, and there were no club teams, and we didn't have that growing up. the girls had to play on the baseball team. There weren't softball teams. So I played slow pitch softball until college. And when I got to college, I had to transition to fast pitch. I tell this story, and this is actually kind of an interesting story. I got to college and was on the same collegiate softball team with Coach Becky Clark. Coach Becky Clark played fast pitch all of her life. I played slow pitch all of my life. Guess who taught me how to hit fast pitch? Coach Becky Clark. We were both freshmen at Troy State, and she taught me how to hit a fast pitch softball. I hit it half the time, and I missed it half the time, but she was still a great teacher. So coming up as a youth, I was fairly involved with all sports, which is interesting because no one in my family is super athletic. That was just something that I was lucky to be able to do, and I stayed involved in sports all the way through.
Now, in Coach Clark's defense, if she taught you to be a 500 hitter, getting hits half the time, so I would say she did a pretty good job. But that's only me as a statistical person and knowing how to analyze the numbers. And just, you know, I hadn't mentioned it before, but it might make sense to some folks listening in that, you know, part of your interest in swimming and being in the water, you did grow up in Pensacola, so you were very near it, and I imagine that may have made some things available. But you didn't grow up in Troy, landlocked, where people might be wondering how that came about.
Troy State University at the time had an academic presidential scholarship, and I was the student government association president for my high school, and that was a dual scholarship, so half athletic, half academic presidential. So that was why I actually chose Troy State University, because my entire academic scholarship was paid for, so I did not have to pay for school.
Before you made that decision, as you went through the recruiting process, I know so many of the kids that we work with do. Were there any other schools that were interested in you? Or are there any other schools you were interested in going to until you made that ultimate decision to go to Troy?
Yes, at the time, there was no SEC softball. So NAIA was the predominant softball league growing up. University of West Florida, which was in my hometown, was ranked really high in the NAIA standings. And that was one of the schools that was really high on getting me there, and that would have been a full ride school for me. But I really felt like I should leave home and go somewhere else. And again, a couple of the other larger NAIA schools that were ranked were, you know, recruiting me as well. But like I said, Troy was sort of a no-brainer because I was recruited by their coach. She was phenomenal. I really enjoyed going on the campus tour, but for my family's circumstances, the fact that I was going to be able to go and have a full ride at Troy was definitely a good thing for me.
So your degree that you eventually earned was in athletic training. What I want to ask is how did you balance that academic path? Did you actually work as a student trainer like you have now? Were you a contact for sports? And how did you balance that with playing intercollegiate softball?
So the ironic thing is, when I went in as a freshman, I was pre-PT, and I had a course, a clinical education course for PT that was going to be at 2:00 in the afternoon. And my academic advisor said, "You have to take this course." And I said, "Well, that conflicts with my practice." And he said, "Well, then you can't be a pre-PT major." And so I left relatively brokenhearted and talked to my roommate, who was an athletic training major, and she said, "Go talk to our academic folks." And so I did, and so I immediately changed my major after the first semester. Decided I was going to do athletic training education. She was also a softball player. She was a junior college transfer from Pensacola, and she was the There was a group of three females that were the first females that Coach Larry Blakeney allowed to travel with the football team. So she was sort of a trendsetter and allowed me to sort of tag along on her heels. So my freshman and sophomore years, we just did a lot of clinical work. We did a lot of outside of, class work, but we didn't do a lot of practice travel. We just did a lot of, when we weren't practicing and traveling, work with the athletic training. It wasn't until my junior year that we really got heavily invested in trying to do all three. So the balance of all three of those by the time I was a junior was fairly significant. But I think when I was a junior, I also knew what I wanted to do. I excelled in the kinesiology classes and the human anatomy and physiology classes. I was really locked into those. I did work with the football team as a junior. I was one of the six selected juniors to be able to do that. I played softball as a junior. In the spring, I helped with the softball team and tried to play, so that was kind of interesting. But we had a student with us as well. So balancing my time was, to me, it wasn't that difficult because I loved what I was doing. So the coursework came easy because I enjoyed reading. Someone would get hurt at practice and I would go home and read about it. So I would spend that extra time educating myself outside of the classroom. So that part wasn't really difficult. I was really fortunate at the time that I was there working football. Troy was in a transition period and we were very, very successful. So that made it fun because we were winning and those teams were good and I had great mentors while I was there. So, it was a time management situation that I had to not get very much sleep, but from the times that I was up in the morning in class and going to practice. But by the time I was a senior, I had been hurt my shoulder fairly bad, and the athletic trainer, the head athletic trainer Chuck Ash, who's just retired after 30 something years, offered me a scholarship in athletics to come do athletic training, which would replace my softball scholarship. So I did take that opportunity. So I quit playing softball as a junior and gave up my senior year and flipped over and worked full-time with the football team as a student.
So you finished up your undergraduate work in 95, and as you mentioned, you ended up getting into the master's program at South Alabama. Talk about the decision to get your master's, if you knew all along that was what you were going to do. Did you look at any other programs before you decided to come to Mobile?
Yes, I actually thought maybe that I wanted to go to PA school. I had spent a lot of time doing athletic training, and when I was doing it in the clinical hours program, it was 1500 hours, and so you just worked as many hours as you could to try to accumulate those hours. I had sort of hit a little roadblock of burnout. I said, man, I need some time away from athletic training. Maybe I want to do PA school, or maybe I want to do something else. So I had sort of stepped back a little bit. University of Florida had a graduate assistantship open with tennis, and it was a two-year program, but they had a tremendous biomechanical program down in Gainesville. So I had looked into that program, had an opportunity to go down there. A friend that had just graduated from Troy had come to South Alabama, literally called me 2 weeks after I finished my degree, so we were on quarter systems, and said, South Alabama needs somebody. It's starting June. Can you be here? I literally got in my car, drove over here, met Dr. Scafidi, and started like 2 weeks later. So it sort of just fell into place. I wasn't going to have to do athletic training. I was a GTA in the HPLS program. I was able to work 20 hours a week, teach HPLS courses. So I was able to step back, take some time away from athletic training, get my master's degree, and be here at South Alabama. And I actually really, really enjoyed that. Started a couple programs with the local YMCA, some clinical injury prevention programs, and was able to work at both of the YMCAs here while I was getting my master's.
So you finished up that master's degree in 96. And at that point, you would become the first full-time certified athletic trainer at Mobile. Tell us how you went about getting that job, and then, because obviously now that's kind of led you on the career path that you're on, and after that year off, it's another change of direction.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because, you know, students will come in now and they say, hey, I'm finished with my degree. What do I do and how do I get a job? And I think back about that, my resume and putting all that together. And again, I was just really, really fortunate that I had a roommate that knew somebody, actually was an employee of Dr. Stephen Cope. I happened to play softball against the current part-time athletic trainer that was at the University of Mobile. She remembered my name and who I was. So the circle actually ended up, what we thought was large actually was rather small, and my name kept coming up in the resume pecking order, and I got an interview. I knew the job was open, so I put my resume in and I got an interview. There were three of us that were interviewed, two males and a female, and I keep bringing this up because this is kind of ironic at the end of the day. All three were interviewed. The athletic director contacted my mentor at Troy State, Chuck Ash, and said, can I have another candidate? I think I need a male. And Chuck said, nope, you got Jenny or nobody. She can handle it. And the athletic director actually brought me in, told me he had asked for a male. And he said, Chuck Ash says you can handle it, so I trust that you can. And that was how I got my first job.
So, of course, we've talked about some of the things that certified athletic trainers do in the responsibilities at the beginning of our discussion. But one of the things that you did do when you got on that job was help to develop an athletic training education program, and included helping go in the design of the facilities the program used. What did that process entail? How long did it take to get it up and running? And talk about that process.
So the athletic training education program had, the groundwork had been laid. And we got a new clinical education coordinator, and it was really interesting because I was a young 24-year-old. I was able to have my own athletic training program as the head athletic trainer. I had a graduate assistant student working with me. I was able to teach classes at the collegiate level. Goodness gracious, those poor kids that I taught back then at 24 years old. So we started working to get this program accredited, and the KD program you had until 2003 to get it accredited, and this was 1996 at the time. So we were working towards getting this program fully accredited so that the students that came through could get their bachelor's degree from an accredited athletic training education program. And there were a multitude of steps that we had to do, making sure that the staff was big enough, making sure that the facilities were adequate, making sure that we had a library, making sure that, you know, we had everything that we could do to provide them with, you know, a substantial education. We were working at the time out of a small non-secured building, a trailer, and we were able to move into a building that was on campus, and we had some amazing people help us do that with some student athletes' families that had some a company. So we were able to gut a building that was on campus, and they are still currently in that building today. Gut it, renovate it, design it, bring it up to speed to make sure that, you know, it was ready for the accreditation process, and when the accreditation team came in, we were there and ready to go, and they got their accreditation, and tons of student athletes, as a matter of fact, two of them are currently employed here at the University of South Alabama working for me, that came through that athletic training program at the University of Mobile. So proud moment.
You mentioned before that there were people in town who you knew that got you involved. You did. You ended up at Mobile for 11 years, and then you came on in what was then an assistant athletic director role here at South. Did you have to make any adjustments going from working at an NAIA school to an NCAA Division I school?
I think the first thing I did when I knew this job was open is I went and spoke to my athletic director at the time, Joan Island, who has a history of being an amazing athletic director and basketball coach. And I said, what do I do? And he said, you go to the University of South Alabama. He said, I'm going to miss you, but you've got to go. And I said, I have zero NCAA experience. He said, there's a book. You can figure it out. So when I got to South, athletic training is similar across the board. Healthcare for a student athlete is very, very similar. But yes, the NCAA rules and what I could and couldn't do. Could I take a kid in to an appointment? Could I buy him something to eat? And could I do rehabilitation? So all those things I really did have to learn, which was really interesting. I had a good staff. Ironically, Matthew Brown, who's one of my athletic training assistant athletic trainers now, was a graduate assistant at the time. So he's my longest tenured employee. He sort of was able to help guide me through some of the process of getting to getting used to the NCAA side of it. And as we worked through that, I had some great mentors here that were great, helping me just learn the NCAA roles. I was able to build a bigger staff. But as being someone that has a good vision, there were a lot of things here to be done. I thought that my long-term goal was to work Division I men's basketball. And so I really truly believe this was it. I had made it. I was an assistant athletic director, and I was working a really, really good Division I men's basketball program. So, I mean, I was beating my chest pretty hard when I took this job.
You know, having come on in 07, you know, you've been here a good amount of time. When you take a moment to ever step back and think about the things you've been able to do, the coaches, the administrators, the student athletes you've been able to work with, the games you've worked, is there anything that you look back on and just think to yourself, you know, that was a pretty special moment to be a part of?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, I'd say just day to day. I mean, the smiles that the student athletes bring when they come to the training room, being able to be the mentor to some of these student athletes that, you know, people were to me, I think is one of the most incredible things. Seeing our student athletes graduate, seeing them become young professionals. I tell people all the time that I believe that the University of South Alabama, that we recruit the right student athletes. We recruit the right kind of people. But I would have to say that some top moments, just me being a Jaguar, even though it didn't turn out well for us, us being in the 1998 NCAA championship, playing Butler, and ironically that coach is here today, but us sitting on that bench and in the NCAA tournament, you know, in that first round, again, still as a young professional, that was a pretty magical moment. Again, Butler handed it to us pretty nastily that day, but that was an amazing moment. Being down in Boca Raton, I had just taken over as the SWA, and I had flown down to Boca by myself and had gone to FAU to watch the softball team play, and being there the day that they captured their first Sun Belt championship, beating Louisiana Lafayette, and seeing that program grow to where they actually won their championship, and Brittany Fowler hitting that home run, that was another magical moment. I think just being here with football, and as they have developed and grown, and some of the big wins, and seeing us being on the big stage, and beating Troy in football, I mean, that's a big moment for me, and people probably don't understand why, but, you know, to be on the Troy sideline as such a young girl, to be on the South Alabama sideline to beat them as a lady, as an old lady now, you know, those moments are big. But, you know, every day being a part of Jaguar athletics to me is memorable, and it's special, and that's why coming to work every day for me is the best. I mean, this is awesome.
So in addition to being appointed to some university committees with all your job responsibilities, you also serve on some Sun Belt committees. What does that entail, and how much time does that take and add on to your day professionally?
So I'm on the Sunbelt Sports Medicine Committee, and I am the committee chair for that. So annually, all the sports medicine directors and team physicians and medical directors get together, and we meet in New Orleans to discuss what are the latest updates for the medical community. And I oversee that and make sure that we all get there and that we have a good agenda, and Kathy Keene and I are able to work together. That doesn't take up a significant amount of time, but, you know, to make sure that everybody is going in the right direction and everybody's happy, that does take up some of my day. But again, that's quite the honor to be the director of that committee. I was recently appointed to be on the committee for the new football championship game for the Sun Belt. So when that happens, I am on the pre committee to make sure that, you know, how that committee is going to go and what that game will look like for the Sun Belt. And so, you know, those committees for the Sun Belt. And then, like I said, like Brian said, I am on some committees for the university. Title IX committee. I'm on a biennial review committee for drug testing. I'm on the presidential committee for initiative for wellness for employees. So we are all trying to put some committees together, just again for benefits for employees and data collection for drug testing, and then again for Title IX for the university.
So as you look to the future, with all your vast array of experience and the different things that you do, is there anything long-term that you're looking at, hope to accomplish, anything that you're willing to discuss, or are you just, you know, you got some private goals and we'll know when you get there?
I think for me, it's I'm so laissez-faire in my personality and happy-go-lucky. I really just want whatever the department needs and whatever I can do to make sure that our student athletes continue to grow, continue to compete for championships, continue to graduate, and continue to be good citizens. I mean, I know those are our three mottos and for our university and for our athletic department. But for me, I don't have any long-term, you know, lofty goals. I don't necessarily want to be an athletic director, but if that falls in my lap and that's the direction that I'm supposed to go, then absolutely I'll do that. Again, I just want to make sure that, you know, the young people that I mentor get what they need, and I hope that I can make an impact on some young lives.
We're visiting this week with Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, Ginny Frisby, also has a couple other titles, Senior Woman Administrator, Title IX Coordinator. Appreciate the time, but before we let you go, I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I don't even know how to relate it to athletic trainers, but, like, let's say you're on the field looking at a kid and you got to make that decision, what you got to do to get them off and in one piece. So first off, in what seemingly would be very little free time that you have, what do you enjoy doing?
So I actually love snow skiing. My mother and sister are both out west, so I'm very fortunate that when I do get time, I jump on a plane and I get out there and I hit the white slopes as much as I can. I do golf. I'm not really good at it anymore because I don't have time. I'm the mother of a four-legged Australian Shepherd named Titan, and he's awesome. So I spend as much time with him as I can when I'm off. But most of the time I'm at the office, and so that's where I spend time with my 300 and some odd children that I have up here.
Not that this is going to be a reflection of you choosing amongst the coaches that you work with, but outside of work, whether it's watching, whether it goes back to playing, you have a favorite sport?
I probably like watching golf. And I have taken up a new love of watching highly competitive Sunbelt tennis.
Well, maybe that we can get you from just watching tennis. We'll get Coach Kaiser to work with you and get you playing tennis, but I'll have to work with him on that later. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd probably say Dallas Cowboys Saints game. Emmitt Smith's playing. I am in the suite as Emmett's guest.
We don't even want to ask how that happened. But good for you, because I've never been in Emmett's
connection.
In Emmitt Smith's suite. What sporting event do you have on your bucket list you've never been to but you want to go?
I'd like to hit a couple of the baseball stadiums up the East Coast. So I wouldn't say it's one event. I just want to hit a couple of them. Maybe six or seven, take a RV and hit the entire East Coast and go to baseball stadiums.
Well, the new Yankee Stadium's overrated, so save your money on that one. You got a chance to go on a dream vacation. Where are you going to?
Oh, I don't know. I think I might have already taken it with my best friend for her 40th. I went to St. Lucia. I don't know that I can top that. I'm pretty simple. I'd probably stay in the States and probably go back to The Price is Right, because that's what I did with my 40th. I didn't get on stage last time. I want to get on stage this time.
What's your favorite movie?
Silence of the Lambs.
Favorite book?
It's got to be one of the Nicholas Sparks books, Bend in the Road.
Your favorite musical artist?
John Legend and Regina Bell.
And the final question for you is, when they make the Ginny Frisbee movie in the future, what actress is going to play the starring role in Miss Ginny Frisbee?
It'd have to be Meg Ryan, because she's just the best actress ever, so she'd have to try her best to play me.
Folks, we've been with Associate Athletic Director for Sports Medicine, Ginny Frisbee, this week on Inside JAG Nation. Ginny, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brian, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast, and go Jags.
Inside JAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside JAG Nation every week on USAJaguars.com, or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!